Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we've got a great interview with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy talking about spring fishing. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Spring into action and spring into massive savings on Can-Am off-road vehicles. Now during spring fever at Hayward Power Sports. Through April 30th, save up to $3,000 on your brand new 2017 Can-Am off-road vehicle. We have over 40 new Can-Am units, including the hard-to-find all-new Maverick X3. Get to Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward, on Highway 77. Can-Am, the ride says it all. Offer ends April 30th, 2017. Certain restrictions apply, subject to credit approval. See dealer for details.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward.
Spring has sprung, and the entire pre-owned inventory at Timber Ford has exploded. Don't wait. Check out our incredible selection and take advantage of our super low pre-owned prices. Like our 2011 Ford Mustang with 44,000 miles and priced at only $12,995. Or our 2016 Dodge Grand Caravan with only 26,000 miles for just $19,995. Looking for a super low monthly payment? Check out our 2010 Chevy Impala for only $150 a month. Save big and save now at Timber Ford of Hayward.
We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle again and helping co-host again. I've got one of my favorite guides in the area, fishing guide Steve Jensen. Morning, Steve.
Well, good to be here, John. Thanks for having me on, buddy.
Fishing season getting close, I'll tell you. Where this show is for the 30th, we got the next weekend will be the opener.
Yeah, it's here. It's here. We are out of time as far as that goes. Opening of fishing is here, and looking forward to another season on the water, that's for sure.
I know you guys have been scrambling like crazy down at Hayward Bait over the last 2 or 3 weeks, trying to get everything whipped into shape with a new expansion. Everything's looking really good.
Yeah, absolutely, John. We've been busting our hump, that's for sure. We're definitely getting everything in line. We're going to be all set and ready to go for opener. A great new addition onto the building, so a lot more room, a lot more product, and it'll just be a lot nicer to shop. We're looking forward to getting everything up and going and a lot of people coming up and starting to go fishing.
Steve, let's talk a little bit about the fishing here as we get into the early season fishing. We had almost a month of open water, basically.
Yeah, we have, John, but really nothing spectacular as far as the fishing goes for panfish because it's been relatively cool, just not a lot of real good warming temperatures. There are certainly some guys catching a few fish, but it hasn't been gangbusters by any means. But every day it gets a little bit warmer, every day it gets a little bit better.
You think a lot of that's been because most of the guys expect to find the fish shallow and they really haven't moved shallow? If you get out in deep water, you'll catch them just like you did when you were rising.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But you generally do want the warming trends. If you have water that is not warming and or actually cooling with cool rain and things like that, the bite will definitely slow. But there have certainly been guys who've caught some fish, and I expect to get a lot better here as we do increase with the temperature.
I've heard there's been some spawning activity from some of the fish already going on. And if fish are going to start running here, we'd probably be post-spawn on the walleyes.
Oh, I can guarantee that we're post-spawn with the walleyes. I've talked to the biologist, Max Walter, a few times. It sounds like almost all the walleyes, especially on the dark water lakes, are going to be done. The clear water lakes could be a little bit different story. As you know, they don't all spawn at the same time on all the bodies of water we have here, John. But I think for sure the dark water, shallow stuff, they'll be done. And the way it's looking, I'd be surprised if the majority of the walleyes aren't done spawning.
Usually when you get really close to after the spawn, a lot of the action's from the smaller male fish usually.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, actually, it can be a little bit of a difficult opener if we do get real, you know, post-spawn because the fish are, they've just gone through the process. They are definitely worn down a little bit. The bigger females are especially a little bit more difficult to catch for a week or two. And then once they get through that, recuperate a little bit, and the water does warm, those fish will get real catchable too.
Sometimes there's a good action, though. If it's warm enough to spend some time out there, even after dark, you know, I think those big fish stay shallow most of the time.
Absolutely they do. You know, you just want to concentrate on that shallow stuff, and a lot of times it's just waiting for a feeding window to open up. Again, you know, when they're post-spawn like that, it takes them a couple weeks before they get real aggressive, but once they turn on, it's a lot of fun fishing.
What have you heard up on the big lake up there? I've heard mixed reports on the trolling up there even.
Mixed reports, but honestly pretty solid as far as things to do, you know, pre-season. I would say that's where most of the guys had the most success. I've seen some beautiful pictures of some great coho catches, some brown catches, a little bit of steelhead action in the tributaries. But I think overall it's been decent. But again, like you mentioned, I don't think it's been gangbusters up there either.
I think when we're talking about the opener after the opener, one of the things, too, is that smallmouth fishing is going to be good, I think, because we're still going to be pre-spawn on them.
Yeah, actually, I think that will be good. That's a great point. We're going to have the right water temperatures. I like the temperatures to be in those 50-degree range. Low 50s is usually really good, especially for that jerkbait bite, which we've talked about before. So I think that'll be right on. And again, you know, Mother Nature can trick us. It can warm up real fast, you know, if we get the right weather, and things can change real rapidly. But, you know, right now it's looking like good conditions for that.
Steve, you know, we need to take a break right now. In the next segment, I've got to actually Hayward Area Fishing Guide Tim Duffy talking about some tips and some things about what we're looking at for this spring and the opener. So we got to take that break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors. When we come back, we'll have that interview. Get ready for fishing this year at Hayward Bait and Bottle. They have a huge selection of lures, rods, reels, tackle, boating supplies, live bait, and much more. In the bottle shop, they also have a huge selection of beer, wine, and liquor. And if you're looking for that new Docker boat lift for your lakefront this year, stop in at Hayward Bait and Bottle and check out the quality ShoreMaster lineup. For over 40 years, ShoreMaster has covered the waterfront with world-class docks designed to help people enjoy their waterfront experience to the fullest. Get more dock for your dollar with ShoreMaster at Hayward Bait and Bottle in Hayward.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports provides you the ultimate fishing experience with Lund Boats. Lund's exclusive IPS hull provides precise boat control and a soft, dry ride, no matter how rough the water is. Add in Lund's state-of-the-art live wells, ultra-comfort seats, and ample storage, and you're ready to fish like a pro. Plus, Lund Boats hold their value like no other. I'm Johnny, and I want to show you the ultimate fishing experience with a Lund from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Or call us at 715-462-3674.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com, and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors with myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host today is fishing guide Steve Jensen. And Steve, I know Tim is kind of chomping at the bit, too. Are you finally getting all of his gear ready and go?
Oh, yeah. Tim's always chomping at the bit. He's been guiding a long time here in the area, John. Very well-known guide, excellent producer, and he's always got some good tips. And Tim's one of those guys that kind of goes to the beat of his own drummer. You know, he does things a little bit differently, tries a little bit different tactics, and he's always finding some different ways and some unique ways to catch and have success. So.
Yeah, he does, too. He's not always necessarily as high-tech as guys like you and
yeah,
I are.
Yeah, absolutely. His approach is usually simple, but a lot of times straightforward. And usually very effective. So I think any tip that Tim would give out would be a good one.
Let's hear what Tim had to say. There'll be two parts to this interview. When we come back, I'll head to a break and we'll play the second part. We're talking the Hayward Area Fishing Guide, Tim Duffy. And Tim, you know, this year is a very early start to everything, it seems like. Way early.
Well, we were just talking. I said, normally this time of year, I would have been up in the North Shore and here and there and all over the place. And it just seems like there's so much stuff going on. Having a hard time getting stuff ready for our opener, but yeah, very mild, all the lakes are open. I can remember even like right now, the big lakes won't even be open yet. Like, you know, a couple weeks off of the, what is it, 2 weeks off of the opening fishing season. So, I mean, they've most of the lakes been open, on even the big lakes, for over a week or so, and some of the smaller lakes for, you know, over 2 weeks or longer. So, yeah, definitely an early start, and it should be for a good opener.
When you consider just a few years ago, there were people out ice fishing that opener.
There was 2 years there. I remember one year, it must have snowed the night before. And next day, opening day, and I'm shoveling like a foot and a half of snow, and the stuff was melting and falling in the water, and there was chunks of ice floating around, and it didn't make for a good opener because the water, that can't have all that snow falling. I mean, it made the water colder and just a nightmare.
A lot of fish actually spawning way before normal this year, it seems like. I know the crappie fishing, there were people up crappie fishing early. Not that they were spawning or anything, but the walleye run, I think, was going to occur early this year. Everything looks like it's going to be early.
I think the crappies is, once the ice leaves, but usually it's just a handful of lakes that you're targeting because they're the only ones that are open. But yeah, a lot of guys are getting crappie right now. They're out in a little deeper water, it seems, normally. But, you know, for the opener, I think, like you said, that I think those fish, if the water's 50-some degrees, I think there's fish spawning, you know, right now. And so the more time between them finishing spawning and the opener, I think it's going to be, you know, a good bite, because sometimes if they're just finishing up, they seem to be a little sluggish, especially the females. But we should have plenty of time between them finishing and the opener. And I see the DNR, you know, they got their boats and their nets and all that stuff. They were doing that like last week. So, yeah, it just seems like we're ahead of schedule for that.
Seems like the pre-spawn is probably some of the best fishing for bass and for even for walleyes, but we can't fish them then usually. But once you get in the spawn, things get a little bit tougher. And, you know, like you said, you have a little bit of period of time after the spawn. But usually you can fill that spot, which a lot of the smaller male fish are still pretty aggressive and active.
Well, and I think there's been a few times I've actually fished where they would just, they were still spawning. And it was kind of nice because they kind of stayed in the shallow water, even on lakes like Couderay and Grindstone. And the bite was pretty good. Where you get the slow bite, I think, is when they're finished up. And then, you know, they just, the males will always, you know, bite, but the females don't. But the more time you can put after that spawn, they kind of settle in, move into their, you know, feeding areas and stuff like that. And you got a good bite. And I think you mentioned too, like, you know, even casting, you know, Rapalas and things like that, you could have some good action.
Well, I think a lot of people think that, like for walleyes, for instance, that the bigger fish move out deep after spawn. And I'm not necessarily sure of that. I think a lot of those fish stay shallow because the water's warmer. But there's a lot of activity goes on around dark and after dark, too, especially with the bigger fish.
I think so. And I don't think they move out in the, you know, the middle of the lake.
No.
I think what they do is, that, you know, if you have, like, the place you get them at night, they'll come shallow, but they're not far off. You're just the longest, shallowest, where the shallow water drops into the first deep spot. They're just hanging off those edges. And I know this because we've went out there. A lot of guys are fishing them at night. We'll go out in the middle of the day, and we won't be fishing the shallows, but we'll be fishing right on the drop where it, you know, you get the first drop into the you know, deeper water, and they like to hang there.
Well, if you go out too, the one thing I found over the years is a lot of times you get out there right after the fish spawn. If you get on those spawning flats and the areas and fish the first couple, 2-3 hours after dark, if it's warm enough out there, and casting crankbaits, you can catch a lot of fish and big fish.
Yes, like I say, this year I think they're going to be really active because we're going to have some warmer temperatures. And, you know, I can remember doing this. If fishing season opened at midnight, you know, on the midnight of the opener, we'd go out and fish at midnight and do quite well fishing, you know, from midnight until the next day. Yeah. So, yeah, something about, I think if you get in the right locations, you're going to find
those fish. I think those fish get in a night pattern, too, because most of the spawning happens at night. So it's a night. I mean, just like when you work a night shift, you get used to working night shift. Those fish are in a night shift in the spawning.
Well, the other thing is, too, they come so shallow, you know, when they spawn. I mean, they're out and they're like 2 feet off the shoreline. I mean, they're in shallower water than you'd think of. So, you know, if the spawn's done or whatever, they're still going to come from that shallow water. And in the daytime, it's just, you know, they're too visible and they can be seen. So they just, you know, they wait till the nighttime.
You know, a lot of the focus is on walleye for the opener, but, you know, you got a lot of good fishing for other fish up here. One of the things, I mean, we talked about crappies a little bit, but and panfish, but one of the things that really kind of gets overlooked a lot is smallmouth bass fishing early. And you get those fish pre-spawn on the smallmouth, you can run into a big groups or piles or a big, you know, a big school of fish, and you can really have a lot of fun.
Well, the smallmouth, the other one is the northern pike. So even we're talking about like cold water and stuff, the northerns actually bite good in the cold water. And a lot of times they spawn the earliest, you know. And gosh, we've had a blast getting up in shallow water. You know, some of these lakes will have weeds like, you know, Spring Lake and stuff like that. And man, you can get a lot of northerns. Same as the bass. People think like you got to wait for the warm water or whatever. But, you know, if they're still going to be going towards or near their spawning areas, and they pile up.
You know, the interesting, talking about bass, the interesting thing is, you know, it's been years ago I was telling, you know, tourism people and stuff that, you know, that maybe you want to promote the bass fishing a little bit more. And now I notice on a lot of the television shows, they're talking about how great the bass fishing is in northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota. The southern people are coming up just to fish the bass because it's better than down there.
Yes, and I, you know, here, I remember growing up, something about the nice thing is the, at least the smallmouth and the largemouth are kind of put in that category as muskies.
Yeah.
I remember growing up, everybody on the beach would go out and fish smallmouth, and they'd keep their five smallmouth and they'd eat them. And we could still get bass, but you didn't get those ones like we get now. I mean, you can get a 22, 20, whatever. I mean, there's some big bass up here, but yeah, we're getting bigger fish and a lot of them. I mean, we got very good bass and you know, nobody even fished them before. Everybody wanted walleyes, crappies, and something they could eat.
Catch and release is doing it. You know, I mean, it's not, you know, the problem we have with some fish are they're catch and eat more than catch and release.
Yeah, and, you know, we even have those, you know, I don't know where they come from, but the big bass boats used to come up and have their, like, tournaments on at some of our lakes. They weren't local people. They'd come from the cities.
They come from all over now.
Yeah, so why would they come here? Well, we do have very good bass fishing.
Well, we're going to take a break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. And when we come back, we'll finish that interview with Tim.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Attention pet owners! Dr. Ostrander is excited to announce the addition of veterinarian Dr. Abby Stoll to the staff of Hayward Animal Hospital. Dr. Abby comes from a family with a strong veterinarian tradition. Her grandfather, brother, and cousin are all veterinarians, and her father is an elk biologist. She has a passion for animals. Dr. Abby is intelligent, experienced, kind, and compassionate. Come meet this extraordinary woman at Hayward Animal Hospital, located on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. I'm myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host today is Steve Jensen. Let's jump right into the rest of the interview with Tim Duffy. Let's talk about something else, too. What do you think the spring's going to be like for the hunting guys, the guys to get out there for turkey hunting?
I think it's going to be dynamite. I've never seen anything like it as far as seeing birds. You know, it used to be you were lucky if you saw one tom to hunt. And, I mean, there just seems to be... be it the winter or maybe just that they're kind of taking off here really good. But I'm seeing tons of hens. I'm seeing, you know, I saw 8 toms at one time and, you know, a lot of jakes, a lot of adult, toms. So yeah, I've seen more consistently on a daily basis than I've ever seen before. Yeah. And even in the day when it was snowing out, you know, and we had or the rainy days where people think they don't move. I was seeing them on those days. Like the other day, it was raining like nonstop, And I had two Jakes that I saw that were walking around in that lane. So I mean, yeah, there definitely seems to be a good number of turkeys, and I think that it's actually good for the hunters, because instead of just, you know, having to target a couple spots, maybe to open it up more where they can, you know, find the birds in different areas.
You know, it's interesting that when the birds first started expanding in southern Wisconsin, I was at a big event and I had a chance to interview the head biologist for the National Wild Turkey Federation. His name was Kenmore. And I asked him, well, do you think we'll ever have those birds and turkeys up in northern Wisconsin? Immediately he fired back, never. You'll never see those birds up there because it's a wrong kind of habitat for them.
I'm telling you this. I remember the first season they had here, I shot my biggest tom turkey. But I've shot a turkey every season after that I hunted. And I've shot them from the first season, second, third. And then the one year I forgot to send my permit in, and I got drawn for the last, you know, bought one over the counter for the last season. And I shot my turkey the first day on that. And three toms came in. And I mean, so, you know, there just seems to be a good number of birds. You know, I'm glad that we have them here, you know, but he was saying about not seeing any birds here ever. My brother Kevin lives up in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. That's way up north. Yeah. There's not a lot of cover, you know, it's a lot of flatlands. So they're seeing birds up there now, which, you know, in the last couple of years where they never saw them. So that's very tough survival in the winters up there. The fields are all plowed in, not a lot of food. So if you can survive up there, they can survive in some pretty harsh conditions.
I think they're finding out that the wild turkey is a very adaptable bird, can survive in a lot of conditions.
Definitely. And, you know, I remember we never had a lot of geese here. Remember that? You know,
yep.
Nothing. And all of a sudden it's like sometimes those birds, like the geese, they actually get into the residential areas and they do good surrounded by, you know, people and, you know, and they're safe. And actually some of the places like that help those populations to grow, you know, in residential places where the water stays open, all the heated ponds and stuff like that. But I remember you were lucky if you saw a goose. Now we got geese all over the place, and then you can shoot more geese here than you can like in a refuge, or they have the early season, stuff like that. So yeah, I've seen it from nothing on a lot of different types of birds that you hunt.
So far deer herds do the same thing.
Yeah, they do. And I think what happened with any of these species, I think if you kind of go crazy and over harvest them and don't really, a couple years of that, it can knock something down. I think that's kind of happened with the deer, you know, plus different predators and stuff.
And fish too. People need to start thinking about
everything.
What they're going to take. What do we need to harvest to eat rather than take too much?
Here, I remember him saying, oh, you'll never knock down the walleye population on these lakes. Well, then it was, well, you'll never touch the bluegill and the crappie. It doesn't matter what species it is. If they can't fish walleye because there's not, they'll go for the crappies. And either way, they knock them down.
You bet. Well, Tim, we're out of time here. I want to have you give out your guide information. Somebody looking for a guide for this summer here, spring?
Yeah, people can get a hold of me at 715-634-5100.
Well, thank you, Tim, for coming on.
Thanks, Big John.
Well, you know, Tim talked about a whole bunch of things, including turkey hunting. And turkey hunting this year, I think, is already getting going good.
Yeah, honestly, John, I think it's going to be a great season. I live out in the country, out kind of towards Bass Lake, and I am seeing birds almost every morning coming into work. Seeing definitely some strutting activity, some toms walking around, strutting up. I haven't heard a lot of vocalization around the house yet, but I have a feeling that's coming, and it sure looks like there's plenty of birds. I think with the mild winter this year that I think they fared very well, and I think there'll be plenty of birds for the guys to go chase.
I hope there's plenty of grouse that come too in the next fall.
Honestly, I'm going to tell you that I think there is too, because I have been doing a fair amount of walking on my property looking for sheds and just kind of assessing the property as I'm getting ready to do my food plots, and I'm bumping grouse every day and multiple birds, and they look good and healthy, so I think that's going to be good. I haven't heard any drumming yet, but I'm expecting to hear that any day too. So it looks good. I think the birds did well this winter.
Steve, I know one of your big things is muskie. You fish the muskie tournaments, and you do a lot of muskie fishing during the course of summer, as do I and several other guides. What do you think this warm-up this spring is going to do to the muskie season once we get it toward the end of May?
Well, it's interesting, and until we get out there and actually get to go fishing and do some you know, prying and exploring around, John, it'll be interesting to say. But, again, I have talked to my biologist here in the area, and they have had some muskies that are spawning already. So I would expect them to be post-spawned by the time Memorial Day weekend rolls around, which, again, kind of leads to a similar scenario that we have with the walleyes, where if you get just post-spawned, it can be a little tricky for a bit. But again, we always do well early season, John. It's actually one of my favorite times for muskies. A lot of people overlook it because they're fishing for other things, but every year they seem to do pretty well on those early season muskies.
Well, even, you know, sometimes you have to kind of pick and choose your lakes, and some of the more riverine waters and waters that warm quicker are going to be the best.
Yep, absolutely, and that's the cool thing about our area. We've mentioned it many times before, but there's such a huge variety of waters. In the early season, I'm typically choosing smaller lakes, choosing darker water lakes, things that warm up faster, and things where I think those fish will be done spawning a little bit early. But every year is different. Until you get out there and start fishing, you know, it can definitely change what you thought you were supposed to be doing.
Well, big difference too, because I remember one year back in the 90s where we had an early ice out and it got super warm through May. 3 days into the muskie season, I caught and released one of the biggest fish, or actually believe mm-hmm. it was the largest fish for muskies. I remember it was a 50-incher, mm-hmm. and it was 3 days into the muskie season yep. on one of our big clear lakes.
Yep, doesn't surprise me a bit. In fact, the last few seasons, John, we've had a few in the 48 to 50-inch range, all of them in either the last week of May or first week of June. So again, it's an overlooked time. A lot of guys are doing other things. They don't, muskie fishing is only good in the fall, but reality is, if you know where to go and what to do, you can catch them all year long.
Well, a lot of guys think small baits, too. I mean, they always think small baits, but that one particular fish I mentioned, mm-hmm. that was on a 9-inch grandma.
Absolutely. And
so what's small to us sometimes is not small to a big fish.
Yeah, it is all relative. It is all relative. And the other thing is to go through a gamut of options, you know, try small to medium to big on every given day and let the fish tell you what they want.
I know I'm not going to get into naming particular lakes because we got a million of them around here, but all a person has to do is start paying attention to when the ice went out, water temperatures, and that stuff.
Yep, absolutely. And, you know, it's weird, John, in our area. Every year you'll have certain lakes that seem to be on and certain lakes that seem to be off. So I'll start my season by trying a multitude of different lakes. And then the ones that keep producing steadily for me are the ones that I concentrate on the rest of the season. And the other ones will kind of get laid off to the side until they come back and start getting better again.
That's kind of what I tell people, even when I had a resort. I said, boats come with trailers with wheels designed to move from lake to lake, not stay on one lake.
There's a reason for that. Yeah, that's a great point. And it is a weird thing and something that I can't even explain, but there's years where certain lakes that normally produce very well for me don't, and then a lake just down the road will be producing great. So I'm always checking everything and trying to keep a pulse on what's happening on most of the waters, and then I try and take advantage of the ones that are producing the best.
Steve, you want to, let's talk real quick here. I want to get some good tips from you for people that want to get out and enjoy some really good early smallmouth fishing mm-hmm. in early part of May. I know you mentioned jerkbaits.
Yep, jerkbaits are almost always number one out of the boat, especially when the water temp, like I mentioned, is in that low 50-degree range. X-wraps or pilot X-wraps, husky jerks are great. Shadow wraps are another great one, just came out from Rapala. Those are, I work with long pauses with good sharp twitches. That's a really great way, a fun way to go fishing. You catch a multitude of species, not just smallmouth. We get pike, we get walleye, we'll get the occasional muskie that'll grab it. So that's a lot of fun. And then as that water temperature gets to the mid-50s to about 60, then I'm changing more to things that are more related to the bottom. So we're doing jig and plastic, maybe some drop shotting and things in that nature, John. And it seems like as the fish get closer to the bedding period, they seem to, instead of be looking up, they're now looking down. And you just change your presentation, you keep catching fish.
Sometimes one thing I'll add, too, is that when people, you talk about long pauses, sometimes I'm talking really long pauses.
Yeah, it's amazing sometimes. You know, you can pause for 30 seconds to a minute, which is a long, long, long time when you're standing there working a lure. And a lot of times that's what it takes to trigger them. Other days, it doesn't have to be that long. And just like muskies, I will do a variety of techniques. Have one guy short pause, have one guy long pause, have one guy work fast, have one guy work slow, and let the fish kind of show you what they want for that given day, and then we'll start to, you know, match that and have everybody do the same presentation.
Steve, you want to give out your guide information, too, as long as we're here?
Yeah, if anybody would love to get out and do some smallie fishing or some muskie hunting this summer, you can get a hold of me at 715-558-3709 at fishhunts.com, or you can always get my information down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle.
Folks, we're about out of time for this week. I want to remind our listeners that we air this show at 8 o'clock on Saturday mornings on WHSM FM, or AM, and the New Cabin FM,
and at 9 o'clock on Sundays on WHSM FM 101. Plus, we podcast it. You can get that at our website at WNOradio.net. We're out of time for this week. I want to thank you, Steve.
Yep, anytime, John.
And we'll see you again next week, folks.
Listen to me, I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.